Hi, this is Jerry from SharePoint. This episode has been recorded remotely due to the COVID-19 restrictions and therefore may contain some technical glitches. We hope you'll bear with us until it's safe to return to our regular format of recording in the breweries. Until then, thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to SharePoint, where we tap into the craft beer scene. I'm Jerry Holla, your host.
Today we're talking with Chad Balbi and Matt Kozar from Breweries in Pennsylvania. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers.
So for people in our audience who are unfamiliar, talk a little bit about how you guys got started and then share with us all the different resources that are available for people on Breweries in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, happy to. So Matt and I actually have a personal connection. I'm married to his cousin. So we're kind of cousin-in-laws, if you will. But, you know, more so than that, we're huge craft beer fans, specifically, obviously, as it pertains to our state, Pennsylvania. So the way it all really got started was, early on, and we've known each other for about 6 years or now or so, early on, we really couldn't find any one resource when it came to beer in Pennsylvania, right? For us, we felt like we would have to hit up like 5 or 6 different sites just to get the information we were looking for. So the way it started was, okay, can we get this information out to the people? So it started with just kind of random blog posts here and now, but now it's really kind of evolved into this over-encompassing, one-stop-shop resource when it comes to specifically Pennsylvania craft beer, if you will. So to kind of your second point of your question, like what resources are available, the backbone of our site is our news section. So anything that's going on in craft beer, we're going to cover, right? Whether it's, if a brewery made news for whatever reason, or maybe they're releasing a beer can, or maybe they have an event going on like an anniversary, whatever it may be, we'll cover it. But then we also have a lot of different resources on the site. We're probably what we're most proud of is our map section, where we have an entire map of all breweries in Pennsylvania. So doesn't matter where you're at, you just pull up this map and you'll find a brewery near you. We have maps of kid-friendly breweries, dog-friendly breweries. We've got maps of breweries that might be veteran-owned, or if you're in the Philadelphia area, maybe any breweries that are local to the local regional rail line. So this way you can literally just hop on and off train stops and hit up breweries local there. And so it's kind of become this one-stop shop that if I'm looking for Pennsylvania craft beer, I know I can go to these guys and find what I'm looking for.
I guess I'll follow up a little bit on that. I mean, we do like our lists since the state is so big. Which people don't realize how big it is. It takes about 5.5 hours to drive to Pittsburgh. There's a lot of breweries in the state. So we do like any initiative that's going on, right? Whether it's the one for the wildfires that was going on.
The Resilience IPA.
Resilience, yeah. Or the one we have recently on our website now, The Black is Beautiful, that's going on. You know, we do track breweries doing everything. So whether it's breweries delivering, whether it's breweries shipping throughout the state, you can kind of find everything. And that was just more on Chad and I's saying, all right, well, if we don't write it, who is? And we would want that information too. So we're just putting ourselves in everybody else's shoes and saying, all right, what are they searching for? So if it has to do with PA beer, we're trying to put it on the website. I mean, we're trying to just come up with more ideas, right? So
yeah, no, and the Black is Beautiful that you mentioned, it was nice to see some people out this way jump on it. I was in Texas before I moved back home to Maryland, and I'd been to Weathering Souls. Is a really nice brewery. Like, they do a great job. Okay. They're great people. So when I saw they were doing that, I thought that was great to begin with. They're there in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. But then when I saw places out here that kind of jumped in and got involved, I was like, that's really cool that people back here are getting involved with that.
Yeah, we're excited to see it. So far, we're tracking 7 that are going to be brewing the beer in Pennsylvania with, some saying that more will come. So mm-hmm. We're excited to see kind of the ball get rolling on that.
There's been some interest, I think, for a Pennsylvania something, right? Mm-hmm. A Pennsylvania version or an initiative. I don't know what that looks like. I was just texted today about it. So kind of an idea that's being kicked around. I don't know if it's going to come to fruition, but it's something that we talk with the owners and brewers about. We have an owners and brewers Facebook group that we, engage regularly with. So maybe something will come of that. But we're always trying to gather everybody, right? So like if we have to be the people who organize it, then that's fine, but how do we get you guys together and what does it look like? So that's,
I mean, it's clear, like I said, listening to you guys talk about it as well as watching your social media content and checking the website, that you guys are both really passionate about Pennsylvania beer. So talk a little bit about some of the different ways that you guys promote Pennsylvania breweries.
So there's a lot of different ways, right? So, and I think Chad touched on this in the beginning, but you know, we really just started out as a review site. This was almost 5 years ago, I think. We were really new to kind of owning a website and writing and just figuring out what the content was. So we started out with reviews. We shifted to news and we shifted to kind of everything all encompassing, right? And leaving the reviews up to sites like Untappd and you know, just you to formulate yourself. So our view is that if you like beer, right, everybody does, or most people do, then go try it yourself. Who are we to say that it's good or bad? So using our position, we just want to kind of tell you about it. You know, here's the brewery. Here's what they do. Here's the beer. You know, we have a series called Meet the Brewer. So you meet the people behind the beer, right? And it's kind of cool. You get to see, you know, a little bit of insight into who they are and how they got started and see pictures of them. You might have seen them in the tap room and didn't know they were the brewer. So we really just try to do things like that, you know, more along the cultural aspect, but, you know, we do have openings, right? Breweries opening, sadly, breweries closing. You know, like Chad touched on, lists of breweries in every county. So you're going to see news from breweries opening to specifically some beers that they're making or an event that they have going on. So if a brewery contacts us, then we will help them out. You know, sometimes they want more specialized things. I think Chad, you might have mentioned this before, but we do work with breweries. You know, they do pay us for things, you know, so we do work with beer fests when those are allowed. So really the whole gamut of what you can expect minus reviews. It's the one thing we don't do.
Right. And breweries, you know, kind of to your question, right? How are they using us as a resource? You know, they see our audience as a much larger audience than theirs, right? Because most breweries are regional for the most part. And so their audience is also very regional. So anytime a brewery wants to get their message out to, you know, a statewide audience, they'll utilize us. Like one example was Weyerbacher Brewing, which is located in Pennsylvania. They're a pretty well-known brewery. They've been around for 25 years. So they're pretty well-known in Pennsylvania. They filed for bankruptcy last year. And obviously, you know, everyone started talking about, well, what does this mean for the brewery? Are they going to shut down? You know, here's this 25-year-old brewery. Are they no longer going to be around? Well, they got out of bankruptcy, and they reached out to us directly because they wanted us to exclusively share that news with our audience because they thought they, you know, and rightfully so, this was a big moment for them. They were no longer under bankruptcy. They were moving forward with their plans, and they wanted to kind of make a big splash in the state, not just, hey, we're just going to share with our local audience, but really we want to share with the state. And so that's why a lot of breweries will use us. Or for example, we're actually doing a Facebook Live with a brewery who opened during the pandemic. They opened about a month ago, and he reached out to us and said, I'd really love to sit down and do a Q&A about what it was like to open a craft brewery during a global pandemic. You know, he was quite frank. He was like, look, you have a large audience. What we did was nothing short of amazing, and I really feel like people need to know what that story was like. So he's utilizing us to get that story out to our audience. So anytime breweries are looking for a springboard to a much larger audience than they may have, they'll usually hit us up about it.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. And then I'm going to say, looking at the art back there behind Chad, some collaborations. So
we do collaborations from time to time. We're actually lining up a few more now in the Corona times, I guess we'll say. Really just whoever wants to do them. It started out with a few, what was the first one? It was the PA Haze, right? Yep. First one was the green one in the top right. Then we kind of moved on from there. We did two more with Stable 12, three with Free Will. We did one with Stick City and, it's right above your head, Stick City and Yellow Bridge for the event that got pushed. Levante.
For the other event that was 2 years ago, Glitter Panda, and then we did this one here with Rotunda. Yes, this is our wall of collaborations.
So our whole goal is just to, like, it's just fun, like, working with breweries, and if we can be on site and brew it, it's so much fun, and we have a hand in naming it and promoting it, and, you know, they've been all across the board, stouts, IPAs, so we meet these people and say, hey, you want to make a beer together, and they're, you know, it's something extra that we can do in addition to events that we hold and have people in, and I don't know if I mentioned, the last 2 years, we did the largest all PA beer fest. So we promoted and marketed and had a hand in it. So
awesome.
I think we had around 70 PA breweries in each one. So trying to do more of those, obviously, when things loosen up. But just to give you a feel of the different type of things that we do in the industry.
Yeah, no, and I think that's great. It's great for our audience to realize that, you know, there's a lot going on with what you guys are doing. And, you know, maybe compared to what they think might be, you know, happening on other sites or things. Why do we need to go to, you know, breweries in PA? Here's why you need to go, because there's so many things like you guys have just talked about that you guys are doing. And one of the things we didn't touch on is the different giveaways. So you've done a number of them. Not that long ago for Memorial Day, you had a couple things running. So tell us about that. And then tell us about that big one that started off small and then just snowballed into something that I would think have to surprise both of you guys.
Yeah. It was really surprising, to say the least. So, yeah, I mean, to that point, you know, giveaways have always been, I mean, you talk to any blog, right? Giveaways are always a good engagement driver. So it's always something we've done. But the way it all kind of started more recently was obviously directly in result to this pandemic. So what we saw was a lot of people were being hesitant about going to breweries for one reason or another. You know, maybe they have just recently got laid off or furloughed, so maybe they don't have the extra spending cash, or maybe a brewery isn't operating as, you know, with the same amount of hours as they used to, so it was just harder to get to. So for whatever reason, people weren't going to as many breweries as they used to. So we looked at it as a way of how could we get people out to breweries, right? So it all started in our Facebook group, probably the week that, like, Pennsylvania shut down for the most part, and breweries announced that they were doing to-go sales only. We picked 5 people in our Facebook group to reimburse $100 worth of beer to each person. So the thought process was, okay, you know, we're only picking 5 people, and the way they entered was in the comments section of the post. We're only picking 5 people, but if I'm one of those 5 people, I will get this beer reimbursed. So why don't I go out to that brewery? Maybe I was thinking I wouldn't go to that brewery, but why don't I go out now, because there's a chance I'll get that money back. And we figure, you know, if a handful of people are motivated to go out to a brewery and spend money because of this giveaway post, then we've done our job. Whether they win or not, we've at least gotten them out to the brewery. And then those giveaways kind of kept happening, right? We would pick a handful of winners to win some beer, or people would post in our Facebook group, thinking about going to this brewery, but I'm not sure, does anyone have any recommendations? And we would just drop in and say, if you go to that brewery, we'll give you $50 to spend. Just here you go, here's $50, go spend it. So those have been the giveaways, essentially, in all of this time. What it kind of snowballed into is the way we were kind of branding it, if you will, was we kept saying, like, we're going to go broke to support this industry, because this money was coming out of our pockets. At the end of the day, we didn't, you know, it's not like somebody gave us this money to give away. It was, we've got some cash from ad revenue, from merch sales. It's not a lot, but we've got this. Why don't we, you know, try to give it back? Well, I guess some breweries and brands noticed it, and they wanted to get in on the fun, and they would reach out to us and just say, hey, look, how do I donate you money, for lack of better words? Mm-hmm. And so in a short period of time, we received close to, I think, almost 1,000, maybe even close to $1,200 in just unsolicited donations from breweries, different blogs, podcasts, mm-hmm. random just, hey, I'm a reader of your site, and I just want you to have a little bit of money. So you couple that, we've given away just about all that money, but you couple that with the amount we've given away out of our own pocket. And, you know, during this pandemic, we've given away close to $2,000, maybe even a little more than $2,000. So it just kind of snowballed into this thing where people just want to see other people you know, kind of help out and be a part of the greater good that we all appreciate, which is Pennsylvania craft beer.
And then for Memorial Day, another part of the giveaway that I noticed was for veterans, honoring veterans.
Yep, for veterans. We just kind of threw up a post that said, look, if you're a veteran, you know, show us a picture of you in uniform and we'll send you some cash to go spend at a brewery. That's literally as simple as it was. Cool. Matt's already shared this, but, you know, we've been a part of a veteran beer collab. Veterans are something that both Matt and I, you know, it really is something that we're strong about supporting, not just Pennsylvania veterans, but all veterans, obviously. So we just thought, all right, what better way to support veterans than on a Memorial Day? As Matt mentioned, we had a beer that we were planning on releasing for Memorial Day anyways. Obviously that didn't happen because of Corona. Hopefully we'll be able to, you know, turn around something for either Veterans Day or maybe Memorial Day next year. But either way, veterans are really important to us. So that's kind of what sparked that post.
That's very cool. Well, every state has been different with how they're handling COVID in terms of what they let breweries do. When I'm in Maryland and here it's gone from delivery and pickup to shipping, which is, we talk about antiquated rules and things. Shipping, never anything that we were able to do before in Maryland. So we've kind of had that evolution. Talk a little bit about what the steps are in PA and what's happened there and where you guys are now.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Pennsylvania, for those of you that aren't aware, is an antiquated state, you know, to use your word perfectly, is an antiquated state from some of their laws. If you're Matt or I's age or older, you know that growing up, it was very difficult to buy alcohol. It still kind of is outside of the brewery, but not as difficult. We have what are called state stores and distributors, meaning they can only sell either liquor or beer. You know, the whole idea of buying beer in grocery stores isn't, you know, a popular idea. You can do it in Pennsylvania, but it has to be done at a separate counter on a separate register. So they're technically, you know, in the same building, but they're, you know, it's not the same process. I can't grab a six pack of this and grab my eggs and then go check out. It's not that easy.
Separate register, everything. Yeah.
So we are a bit of an antiquated state from that standpoint. Things have gotten better. You mentioned beer shipping. Yeah, I mean, even before coronavirus, we were allowed to, or breweries were allowed to ship beer. But ever since coronavirus has hit, it has gotten easier. The number of breweries that shipped pre-coronavirus, I think it was 4 in total in the state of Pennsylvania. Now we're up to 12, so that number has tripled, obviously, just in this short time. Much like you mentioned, we offer, you know, Pennsylvania is now offering to-go options. Most breweries, well, I shouldn't say most, but a third of the breweries in the state offer some sort of delivery option. Now that's not statewide shipping, obviously, right? But usually that's, hey, I can deliver your beer within a 5-10 mile radius of the brewery. So things are getting lax a little bit there. I think I saw on our Facebook page or our Facebook group, I think I saw somebody's county repealed an open bottle container law or open bottle law, if you will. So now somebody's just walking down the street with a beer in their hand, just drinking it on the side.
Mardi Gras.
Yeah, right. We're borderline Mardi Gras. Now I forget exactly where that was, and believe me, that's not statewide by any means.
I remember where it was. Happening. I'm gonna go there.
Yeah, right. We'll party in that county.
But Redding, yeah, so I mean, Redding, PA or something like that.
Okay.
It's somewhere. It's somewhere. I forget though. But yeah, I mean, laws are definitely becoming more lax, and you know, the where we were 15, 20 years ago is definitely not where we're at today.
Yeah. I think and I'll touch on this. I think we talked about this before, but they always had the ability to ship, I think, since a year and a half ago. We knew a brewery doing it through a courier service, which was Levante Brewing in Westchester, if you've heard of them. And then recently, I'd say within a month, I believe, UPS came onto the scene and said, yeah, we will now ship beer. So I think that's important to note because that's when you're seeing all these other breweries come on, right? So the people who were doing it before were doing it through a third party. UPS came in, less barriers to entry, you know, they pick up, they have tracking, the whole nine, right? So now you're seeing people say, all right, I can ship whatever I want. I mean, so it's interesting, but as you're talking about going from, you know, to yellow now is one of the things that makes me mad is that in the red phase, you could fill somebody's growler. And now in the yellow phase, somehow you can't fill their growler. So some of these rules don't make sense to any of us, but
that's Pennsylvania for you.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. We don't have things like that in Maryland. So, you know, you're talking about yellow and red, and then there's green phases. So what are we talking about? What are the differences?
Chad, you want to explain this? I don't know.
Yeah. So the way the Pennsylvania government has established it is they've established, as you mentioned, yellow and green phases. Red was what we were all under, which pretty much, you know, it's like a stoplight, right? Red phase was no go. This is what's happening. It was all the to go and delivery only. Yellow phase gives them a little bit more dine-in options. So essentially what yellow phase means, and there's a bunch of stuff on this, and I would refer people back to our site. We do have an article that goes over this. I want to shout out a gentleman by the name of Matt Anderson. I want to make sure to give him some.
Cheers, Matt.
Yeah, he's one of the.
You owe that guy so many beers. So many beers.
He's one of the foremost legal authorities on Pennsylvania craft beer law. So he's somebody that should be recognized for this. But essentially, the article go into this more. But yellow phase, you're allowed dine-in seating. However, it has to be outdoors. So you still can't have anyone in the tap room. You can't have anyone in the building as far as dine-in goes. Now, you are still allowed to go sales and curbside, the whole nine, but you can only have people outdoors, and you have to have the tables separated 6 feet apart.
Green 50% phase, capacity, basically.
Yep, and green phase is a little bit more in the sense that you are allowed outdoor seating, but you're also allowed indoor seating. So the main difference, obviously, is people can come indoor. Now, under both phases, you're allowed 50% of whatever your occupancy is. That's it, no more. And you still have to maintain the 6 foot distancing, if you will. And it's been funny to watch that because you see all these breweries in yellow phase convert all these parking lots and what have you to these, you know, outdoor beer gardens. A lot of breweries were prepared because they had outdoor seating already. And now you see breweries that never had outdoor seating and they've got these, you know, large outdoor areas, the whole nine, because they're essentially taking their parking lot and making it the beer garden.
Right.
The goal is to get to those phases, right? So whoever's in yellow now, their goal will be to get to green phase. And then essentially what is above green phase, to my knowledge, is just operating at, you know, normal pre-COVID.
Okay. Well, and I would say by those definitions that Maryland has most recently started to, in the infancy stages of yellow. Because we're seeing some people that don't have, you know, like you said, beer gardens, outdoor spaces, trying to figure out creatively, well, how can we take advantage of that? How can we do this safely?
Yeah. So, the breweries in Maryland, do they have to get extra permits to do outside things, or how does that work?
I'm not sure. I know that one of the places, Crooked Crab, they took a little while to do it because they kind of had to check with their landlord because they were kind of in an industrial strip area, and they basically had to say, hey, this is what we want to do, can we do this, because they're taking up parking lot space for some other things, and it's not a very big area to begin with.
Right. Yeah, so it's all state run here, so it's like they have to check with like the state liquor control board to extend their property so people can drink on it. It's like the whole thing, and then you got to pay more, of course, right? So yeah. It's all money.
So we'll ask the big question. What's going to make most people feel comfortable going back out into a group setting? And then maybe each of you can kind of say, what's going to make you personally feel comfortable, whether it's going to multiple breweries in one day or being at a brewery for several hours? What's going to make you guys feel comfortable doing that again?
Well, so I was at a brewery this past weekend, so I would prefer to just start going to breweries regularly again. I think to make people comfortable, I mean, yeah, you're going to have to play by the rules here. You're going to have to, you know, clean everything and disinfect and make sure people are comfortable, right? At the end of the day, these are your customers. So I think as long as they feel comfortable going out in groups of people, it's getting over the fear of that and knowing that this can always happen, right? So I just basic hygiene, right? Washing your hands and, you know, if you touch a dirty door, go wash your hands or something. So yeah, I just think as long as people feel comfortable and you're washing tables down, and you know, whether it's using single-use glassware right now or whatever it is, you're using the same glass over and over, that's fine. I think for myself, you know, I've worn a mask everywhere I've gone. I've gone out to, I think Chad, you said before, Home Depot, Lowe's. I've bought a million plants in this whole quarantine. So I have done that, so, you know, I can protect other people, but, you know, I would go, I mean, I went to a brewery last weekend. I mean, Chad, if you want to go to a couple breweries this weekend, let's do it. So, yeah, I just make people feel comfortable. That's really what it is.
How about you, Chad? Yeah,
for me, I think as far as people are concerned, I've kind of always said, I think to get back to normal, I do feel like maybe a vaccine needs to be in place just because the unknown is out there. You know, while the numbers, you know, the numbers don't necessarily say that this is a, you know, life-ending disease by any means, but the fact that it is unknown, the fact that there isn't a vaccine, I'm sure that's going to make a lot of people really weary. You know, as far as getting back to a little bit of a semblance of normal, I think people, it's just going to be a slow trickle, right? It's going to have to be, all right, I went to a brewery and did outdoor seating. I came back. I have no signs of the disease. I go to a brewery that maybe goes in the green phase and I go indoor. All right, I go back. I still don't have any signs of the disease. All right, I can just start doing a little more. So every day you're getting a little bit better in what you think you can do and what you can get away with. At least that's what it seems like. I will tell you from, you know, seeing all the posts in our Facebook group, a lot of Pennsylvania beer drinkers will go back to normal literally like that. They just want to get out there and they just want to enjoy craft beer, and I don't blame them. For me, I'm kind of the same way. Yeah, I'm cautious about it, but my life has not really stopped from a standpoint of still being able to go to the stores that are open during this coronavirus. I've still continued to shop at the stores that will at least allow me to shop at. Obviously, I have my mask on. I've got my Purell, the whole nine. So how I shop is a little bit different, but I'm still doing it. I'm not bunkered in my house and, you know, worried about, you know, what might hit me. So for me, I think it's just, I'm really going to take my P's and Q's from the businesses. If a brewery near me is open and has allowed me to sit in there, I'm going to go ahead and do it. If it's crowded, I'm probably not going to freak out that much. You know, obviously I'll try to maintain my distance and be smart about it, but I don't see myself walking into a crowded bar and turning around because there's too many people in there, if you will.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything that's coming up within the next few weeks or months or so that you guys are doing that you want to kind of put out there and highlight?
Yeah. So I'll let Chad touch on the giveaway in a second. I think keep a lookout for, you know, we always do events, right? We have a lot of beer shares that we do through our Facebook group. So we'll meet at a different brewery. We'll do free tickets just to control the crowd. So we always post them through there. So if people follow us through there, we're going to be rescheduling our last, Pittsburgh Evades Philly event. So, which is sold out. So if they don't have tickets, then sorry. and then we're going to be actually, you know, trying to get our veteran beer, going. I mean, we did take a pause on that. But our goal is to raise more money than we did last year. So we did about 20,000 last year. You know, I'd love to double it. I don't know if we can do that, but you know, anything over 20 is good for us. So yeah, let's awesome. You know, follow through with that, and then yeah. I mean, Chad, I'll let you talk about the giveaways.
Yeah, and we're gonna still continue the giveaway. Like I said, we've given away a decent amount of money so far, but we still have some giveaways planned. The one you know that's immediately planned is somebody was, and this came from an anonymous donor, was generous enough to give us $100 gift certificate to the New Trail Brewing Company out of Williamsport, Pennsylvania. So we haven't given that away yet, but that's our plan to give that away to a lucky winner, probably on our social channels. We've done a lot of giveaways geared towards our Facebook group, but this one will probably be more geared towards all of our social channels. So that'll be pretty exciting. We're hoping to snowball that into maybe some other giveaways. We're probably at the tail end of most of our giveaways now. Now that things are returning a little bit back to normal, now that we've kind of run through the bank of money that we had slotted for it, we're hoping to get a little bit more money through, you know, merchandise sales and advertisers to the point where we can give more away. But that's at least what we have planned in the immediate.
We do them like randomly, right? So it's not all the time, but now it's kind of ramped up during this time. But yeah. I just wanted to note, just so people know, whoever's listening or watching, we don't make a lot of money off this website. So whatever we gave was either given to us or we had extra ad revenue. You know, all the money we make goes into the website and enhancing it, server upgrades, paying our webmaster because the site goes down occasionally from traffic, just things like that, travel, when Chad and I travel across the state, We stay in Airbnbs, we take Ubers, you know, things to be safe so we're not driving. But that's what the money's spent on. So I think people have made some comments like, oh, you guys are so rich. And it's like, whoa, calm down. Not. But no, we're just trying to pay it forward and help everybody out.
Right. Well, you guys definitely do pay it forward. And I think it's, you know, it's good that you put that out there so that people realize, because all that does is just reinforce the passion that you guys have for breweries in Pennsylvania. So that's pretty cool. Make sure you guys throw out your, the website and social media information, put that out there for viewers and listeners so that they can jump in and join if they're not.
Pretty simple, right? It's Breweries in PA across everything. So Breweries in PA, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, breweriesinpa.com. Matt and I have referenced this throughout the conversation. We do have a Facebook group that's also Breweries in PA. However, that's Breweries in PA parentheses group. So that kind of differentiates between the page and group. I would recommend definitely joining the group. It's super active. It really gives you a good sense of what everyone's drinking throughout the state. It's a great resource just from, you know, crowdsourcing ideas off of one another. Obviously, we deliver the content that we think's important, but obviously we're not delivering all the content that Pennsylvania Craft Beer has to offer. So if you ever have a question in regards to, you know, what brewery is doing what, or what brewery around you is good for a certain style of beer, whatever it may be, that's an absolutely great resource to just crowdsource off of folks. It's almost as large as our social media following on our Facebook page. So there are a decent amount of members in there to kind of, you know, bounce ideas off of one another.
Great. And info at breweriesinpa.com is our email address as well. So
awesome. We'll make sure we get that information up on our website. Well, Chad, Matt, I want to thank you both for your time. And I look forward to a day in the near future when we can share a pint in person.
Please.
Yeah. We'd love that. A lot of fun. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you for having us so much.
Share a Pint is released bi-weekly on Friday mornings and can be found at sharepintpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at share_pint. Show notes for this episode are available at sharepintpodcast.com. Music for the show, Groundwork, provided by Kevin McLeod and can be found online at incompetech.com. Share a Pint is made possible by help from the Community Media Center of Carroll County. Associated with the craft beer industry and have an interesting story you'd like to share on a future episode? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at sharepintpodcast.com or email us at jerry@sharepintpodcast.com. Until the next time we share a pint, I'm Jerry Hulla. Prost.